You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
This will be the most incredible flag football showcase ever. It's really going to be a global competition like we've never seen before. And my real training starts now, and I can't wait to take the field next March. I'd now like to turn it over to His Excellency Turki Alalshikh.
Nailed it.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Ah, what a beautiful day in Boston sports. WEEI Afternoons here to talk about old friend Tom Brady. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, they just won't go away. We have to talk about them. They literally make national and international news. It's not like we're stuck living in the past. I want to talk about Drake May. I want to talk about Drake May coming off his greatest game as a Patriots quarterback, but the big old statue looking over his shoulder, the live version of that, won't let me, because yesterday, Schefter was involved, Fitzy, Tom Brady's involved. Oh, we're announcing that Tom Brady is coming out of retirement, sort of, to play flag football in the Middle East for Saudi Arabia, and he's bringing Saquon Barkley and a bunch of others with him, and he's fumbling and bumbling the introduction of the guy he's introducing that's probably paying. Yeah, have another Joe Namath. You weren't quite ready there.
How come Brady can't say excellency? And also, the fact that Brady is there introducing Turki Alalshikh as His Excellency, and the guy's there with the turban and the shades. Like, Andy, did you think for a second you were
Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, no, you're watching.
Brady's hosting Saturday Night Live again with this guy?
You're watching a skit?
Yeah.
Or if Brady held up a sign that said, "Psych, I lost my fantasy football league last year," or that was AI generated. No joke.
I'd now like to turn it over to His Excellency Turki Alalshikh.
As a talk radio host who occasionally gets mocked by his co-hosts and his producers for bumbling a word, maybe going into a break, it's nice that Tom Brady had like five words to say and he bumbled one of them, and he was probably getting paid tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars to introduce it.
Good. You know what?
Flawed like all of us.
What Tom Brady finally needed was a paycheck in the 7, 8, and 9 digit range. I gotta ask, honestly, okay, once we push past the comedic shock value of what you saw last night in the big, he's unretiring introduction.
I hate it.
With every aggregator, every quote insider just lapping it up and promoting it for the sake of clicks and activation and maybe a couple of bucks themselves. Did you not feel like you maybe like somewhere between like you wanted to take a shower or you were angry or both after that whole dog and pony
the shower show? Part, definitely. Like, no truer words. So we heard Jones and Keefe earlier in the crossover talking about how WWE went to Saudi Arabia a few years ago, and it involved an iconic match that was hideous between two aging supposed stars in Goldberg and Taker. It was embarrassing. But Million Dollar Man, decades ago, said everybody's got a price. Uh-huh. No truer word has ever been said now. Like, we've learned that with Saudi Arabian money, various funds, and what we've learned from LIV Golf and all these things. We can all have
crypto.
Crypto.
Is this an FTX? Like, is this an FTX scam?
So
is
there's
penance for that.
There's part of me that just gets it. Like, yeah, Andy, you wouldn't turn it down either. If you saw the commas that are involved in these things and how little they have to do, all they got to sell is their soul. All you got to sell is your sports soul, just
haven't
a little
you,
bit.
Haven't you always wanted like a hot tub, a plunge pool, maybe a robot made like in Rocky IV?
Yeah, sometimes you got to just kind of turn the other cheek and hold out your hand and accept the money, I guess, because that's what this feels like. The one thing I will say, Stiz and I were talking about this off air. Does Tom Brady need money? He's an owner of an NFL team. He makes $37 million talking about NFL teams. He still has the Tupperware party that is TB12.
And we have the Tupperware party. Nice one.
Thank you. It's a dated New England reference. I thought you'd like it.
Exactly. Like, yeah, if you had been like, he still has the Avon party. He still has the Mary Kay pink Cadillac that is TB12.
Pampered chef.
whatever you want to call it.
Wait, what's the, whatever. The Cutco knives that is TV 12?
Whatever pyramid scheme you want.
Right. But the guy's worth at least $500 million. No, no. So he doesn't need to be going to Riyadh in what you put as, or rather we should all now clearly announce as, the liveification of flag football. I have to ask this question. If this is involving Fox Sports, if this is involving fanatics, Michael Rubin, who just seems a little shadier by the day to me, and I'm sure I'm cutting myself out of any future Michael Rubin fanatics.
Yeah, that was Fitzy events. That said that.
I
Mr. Rubin, you need any reads, you know your man. Yeah, I got a price.
Yeah, exactly.
And how much do those jerseys cost I buy from that site?
Honest to God. Why isn't this domestic? Why isn't this here?
Because the money is there, and the, I believe the term, Stiz will correct me because he watches a lot of the news networks. This is called sports washing. Isn't that what we learned during Live? The sports washing of the world and the Middle East and these countries and
WWE
sort of distracting us. Yeah. Absolutely. And
well, I mean, to be fair, like Saudi Arabia, they're starting to become, you know, with places like Dubai and other places, they're becoming more and more westernized.
Sure.
And they, American culture, sports is very, very popular.
Sure.
And they have the money to say, hey, WWE, how about you bring Undertaker here? Hey, NFL, how about you bring Tom Brady here? So, you know, unfortunately,
well,
this
the
is
NFL isn't bringing
not the
Tom
NFL
Brady.
With just Tom Brady in this.
Let's
one,
make
in
that
this
differentiation,
case.
And that's one thing I want to note here. There are active NFL players. I think the best player in football, Saquon Barkley, is going over there with Tom Brady. Tom Brady's
Brock
own
Bowers
players,
going.
Brock Bowers, Max Crosby, going over there with Tom Brady. I think one thing that annoyed me, forget the money, forget a lot of the, you know, oil money, blood money, the various things people like to throw around out there, is it also feels like it's undercutting the Olympics. He just said this will be the greatest flag football tournament ever seen, round robin, this and that. Like,
is that, Andy, is that him admitting Rajon Rondo is going to beat him out for the QB job in 2028?
So, like, is his intention to promote football or just make money, I guess would be my question. Because if your intention was to promote football, I think you'd be more involved with the Olympics and promoting the Olympic team and doing some of those things.
I'd now like to turn it over to His Excellency Turki Alashik.
Maybe that's his out. Maybe it's another crazy like a Fox Tom Brady. I never called him His Excellency. I never said the word. You can go back and listen. I stumbled all over it. I never actually called him that. But the issue here is, and this comes in conjunction with, this isn't the only Tom Brady in the news in the last 24 to 48 hours.
Oh, no.
Nope.
It isn't.
Because last night, during Monday Night Football Part 2, he showed up in the coach's box for the Las Vegas Raiders. Suit and tie on, which I don't know why, but really annoyed me. Almost as much as his appearance in the box was his attire while in the box.
Yeah, I haven't been able to diagnose this one yet, Fitzy. Why Andy's so upset about the fact that he was wearing a suit.
Well, I mean, I will say that I used to love when coaches wore suits on the sideline. Like, I loved when Mike Nolan was the head coach of the Niners in the mid-2010s, and he would, to honor his dad, would wear a suit on the sideline. There was something gentlemanly, spiffy, and dignified about that, you know. Like,
but why is Brady wearing a tie?
Wear wool suits at the old ball game.
Okay,
I love that. But like, Brady, throw on a tracksuit, get comfy.
Al Davis, you own the Raiders, who are famous for their owner wearing a tracksuit. Literally, it is the perfect organization and opportunity to wear a tracksuit up to the box.
Maybe.
And I've actually seen him in it in some of these clips and photos from Raiders practices. He's kind of donned an Al Davis-like look for some of those, but last night, I don't know who he was trying to impress as the owner attire, because Robert Kraft obviously wears a suit. Like, that's how he looks as an owner. In his own luxury box, not in the coach's box, next to coaches and scouts and people who are doing actual football. This whole blurred line, I know the woman in Indy is getting kind of crapped all over for being on the sideline taking notes.
Carly Ursay.
Yeah, and you know, there's part of me that understands, if you run a multi-billion dollar organization, you probably want to know what the hell's going on an
intimate
basis.
Hard to argue with the results thus far, Andy. I mean, Indiana Jones and the Colts look pretty good so far.
So far. We'll check in on that. I know overreaction Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and every day in the NFL is a real issue these days in New England and elsewhere.
Sure
but
enough.
The line is being blurred, I guess, between owners and what their role is, and they don't just sit in luxury boxes anymore. But Tom Brady is sitting in a coach's booth, okay, observing, you might say. He also has a headset on, so could be interacting any way he wants, which clearly is a conflict of interest with his many, one of his many daytime jobs, which is Fox analyst, which he still, I watched on Sunday, still don't think he's very good. Still don't think they're getting return on that investment. At
Justice for Greg Olson.
Yes, Greg Olson. No, hashtag Greg Olson better. Eddie's. Hashtag Olson better, and hashtag Olson stays out of the coach's booth and the boxes and all those things.
That's a very catchy hashtag.
He just does his job. But we have Tom Brady wanting to be everyone, to anyone who'll pay him and make money and this whole. And I do think, Fitzy, big picture, lay down on the couch for a minute, Tom Brady, I do think he's trying to fill the void in his life that we've talked about, that he's unfulfilled. There's a football void and there's a family void, and he's filling those voids with basically paid appearances, whether it's on Fox, whether it's in Saudi Arabia, whether it's for Fanatics. That's how he fills the void in his life. And I do think as a Patriots fan, you can correct me, Fitzy, you are Mr. Patriot Nation. You stand on the wall with your brethren and all those things. This is off-putting, correct?
There can't be a single Patriots fan that is turned on by this, that is behind this, that from the Fox commentary to the Raiders ownership to that clip of him in the white Al Davis satin jacket in the tunnels of some stadium in the preseason, all the way to announcing that he's going to be doing flag football in the Middle East next year. I don't think you can get behind it. There'll be some Andy that'll hop on the wall, that'll pull out their TB12 jerseys in various colors, and they'll defend it saying, he's doing nothing wrong. You know, he's a capitalist. He's okay. He's earned it. He's deserved it. You know, don't ever speak ill of the man who brought so much joy to the region for two decades. No one is besmirching what the man did. We're just questioning and or feeling kind of weird by what he's doing now.
100%. And it's a lot of it. And I get back to Bill Belichick. He was a great coach for the New England Patriots, took them to 9 Super Bowls, won 6 of them, you know, was knocking on the door of the all-time wins record. But he's doing things now in the present that are a little awkward, uncomfortable, unbecoming to his legacy, different things. And I think both guys, it's sad. Like, if you ever could have envisioned how it could have ended for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, the greatest duo in the history, not of football, arguably the greatest duo in the history of sports, team sports.
Yep.
And you envisioned all these ways it could end perfectly, okay, meh, or not great. It's well below the not great now. They had a divorce. They hated each other. They hate the owner. They all hate everybody in this love triangle. And now they're all doing weird things that are worse than we... Couldn't they have just kind of gone off into the sunset, had 3 statues, we loved you, you love me, we all are going to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame and then die eventually and don't kind of ruin everything we always had. Dan Ball.
Why couldn't both of them just do what every other great former football coach or player does? Stick with TV.
Right.
If Brady was just on Fox and Belichick just stayed with the ESPN stuff, weekly appearances on McAfee, wouldn't we be talking about both of them a lot differently than we are
how
today?
How good was Dan Ball, and how good was Belichick? I was thinking back to when he was on the Pat McAfee Draft Night show back in 2024, and the way that he broke down Drake May and said he's the quarterback that's going to need the most work out of the 6 coming out in this rookie class. Like, he was tremendous. All that insight that he shared across all those different platforms and disciplines with, Underdog and InstaFace and then ESPN, that was great. Brady wants to be an announcer. That's fine as well. Robert Kraft should just joyfully continue owning his football team that he would like to see return to the playoffs, but he knew so much playoffs for such a long time, I would think there would be an extra measure of grace. And if they needed to do something else, Andy, they could sell, special guy pills or testosterone, but, you know, they could advertise for Northeast Men's Clinic or something like that.
That's what Jimmy Johnson did. Remember, he used to sell something like that.
Hey, it's Bill Belichick. Jordan loves it, and you will too.
I actually would enjoy that. I wouldn't.
She loves the fact that it doesn't take 4 hours.
I'd be fine for that. So a little update in terms of the Tom Brady, owner of the Raiders, being in the coach's booth, conflict of interest thing from our friend Adam Schefter, who we will talk to tomorrow, 3:45 from Fenway Park in his regular slot. Adam Schefter, who was also a part of the announcement from Tom Brady and announcing that he was sort of coming out of retirement and sort of promoting Fanatics.
This dog just getting walked in whatever direction is convenient to the league and the players.
So Adam Schefter tweets about an hour ago, NFL announced today that Tom Brady, a minority owner with the Raiders and broadcaster for Fox, is, quote, prohibited from going to a team facility for practices or production meetings, unquote, but he is still allowed to sit in the coach's booth per a league source. So he is being removed from the production meetings and his opportunities to what some people jumped to immediately was glean information, right? Acquire information during his work at Fox to bring back to Chip Kelly, who now we have reports that he meets with 2 to 3 times a week to go over the game plan and the offense and everything they're doing.
Boy, talk about a helicopter parent.
Yeah. I wonder how Chip Kelly feels about that. I wonder if Chip Kelly enjoys that. Remember, Chip Kelly jumped ship on Ohio State because he had to deal with NIL and all of that crap. Well, now he has to deal with TB12 and all of this crap and him looking over his shoulder and not being trusted to put together a game plan. But Tom Brady, we know for sure now, apparently will no longer have the conflict of interest that is visiting practice and having production meetings. But Tom Brady continues to just have I don't want to be overly critical. It's just all weird. It's just all weird.
That's the lead, I think, right here. That's everyone's key takeaway. Part of it feels kind of gross. Part of it feels a little like
icky,
you know. I mean,
cringy.
It's
what the kids say.
It's cringe. That's the cringe factor here to a lot of people, I think, is pretty high. Now, Stiz does have a point that if this was Brady being a trailblazer to Riyadh in the Middle East a couple of years ago, right around the time LIV was forming as a counter league or, you know, riding sidecar to the PGA, it would be a little bit different. But because there have been so many different owners domestically buying overseas, and now obviously Middle Eastern owners buying into things like EPL, you know that there are probably several different sheikhs or consortiums of money in the Middle East that want to buy NFL teams, NBA teams. Who doesn't love a little splash of OJs in the afternoon?
That's
like
what
that?
It's all about, boys.
That's right, baby.
Money!
It's gross. It just feels it like you would think Tom Brady, Andy, as the ultimate competitor, as Mr. LFG himself, would be beyond the money and would be more about integrity of the game. I thought the pregame speech, it's about honor. It's about respect. It's about your families. No, it's about $500 million.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever expected him to be above or beyond the money because a lot of these greats aren't. Is Michael Jordan above or beyond the money? No. Jordan Brand
gambles half of it
bought
away.
A team.
Like Republicans buy shoes too.
Yeah, Republicans buy shoes too. Tiger Woods admitted he wanted to be all about the money. LeBron James is all about the money. And sometimes that leads you down a road of, and we've seen this with Jaylen Brown and his criticism of Nike and LeBron as a Nike guy and how that's all tied together. Sometimes you need to bend your morals a bit to make as much money as possible. Yes, Stiz.
And honestly, I brought up crypto a few minutes ago, but we've seen this playbook with Tom Brady before, taking bags of cash. He got in trouble with the crypto thing. A lot of people got in
and
trouble
NFTs
with that.
And NFTs too, I think. Stuff.
NFTs,
well, but the crypto thing, especially like, was it Sam Bankman-Fried,
yeah.
Yeah, Sam Bankman-Fried. That dude's in jail for a long time. There were people that wanted to, I believe there actually was a class action suit that was forming against like Brady and Giselle and Larry David
100%.
And anyone that took money from Sam Bankman-Fried because they feel like they were misled. A lot of people lost money off of that. Look, you know how important flag football is to me, how much I talk about it, how much I romance it, and what a great game I think it is. And it's awesome that it's going to be in the Olympics in 3 years. Do it domestically, for God's sakes. I don't understand why he's doing it overseas just for some extra money.
Because that's where the money is. The biggest money. No one wants to hear this, but the owners are doing the same. Well, he is an owner. So they're all taking these 10% investments from these, what do they call, wealth funds from the Middle East. They're all either doing it already, looking into doing it, seeing how they can do it. Oh, wait, I can sell something. They don't have a say in my organization, but they pay me a boatload of money well above the current rate for my team. They're all making it hand over fist. Stiz, you were right. It's all about the money. Money. Follow the money.
And it's, if you really go down the rabbit hole and follow that money coming from over there, oof.
And
dirty.
Absolutely.
Oh, I don't think you don't listen. Do not ask. Excuse me, sir. How are the sausages made?
Yeah, you don't want to know. You just want to eat them. Just get drunk and then eat them outside of Fenway Park, as every great baseball fan does. 617-779-7937. Are you annoyed? Concerned? Do you want Tom Brady to go away, as one texter said? Is it icky? Is it dirty? Is it yucky what Tom Brady is doing? Or do you just remember the great player with the great statue down at Gillette Stadium? Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it is a Tuesday. It's NFL season. That means Mark Schlereth will join us. We'll get a perspective from a guy in the trenches on all these quarterback injuries. Also, how's he feeling about that bang the over on 8.5 wins for the Patriots? Got to be feeling a little bit more up this week. We're going to talk to Mark Schlereth next here. His Brady excellency. Does it. I do it. His excellency. The whole thing. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
I'd now like to turn it over to His Excellency Turkey Alev Sheikh.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast. You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll go right to our phone lines where Mark Schlereth awaits his weekly appearance. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mr. Schlereth, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing good. I'm not as good as you guys. You guys got a victory. My Broncos took one on the chin to Indy, but all things considered, I'm doing well. Thank you.
So your Broncos, let's start there. Quarterback, the Broncos clearly feel like they have their guy. The coach and the quarterback are aligned with Bo Nix. We had a lot of questions after week one where people were like, does Josh McDaniels know what he's doing with Drake May? We feel a little bit better this week. I know you were an over kind of guy on the season. I'm sure you saw some of the highlights and production from Drake May. Did we overreact with the questions last week, or are we going to overreact with the excitement of how good Drake May is this week?
Well, I mean, I think always there's an overreaction week one, right? There's a lot of things that don't pan out on week one. And one of the things I took away from week one as I went through every game is there was a lot of inefficiency on the offensive side of the ball. You know, there's a lot of, hey, man, we haven't done this live. The preseason games are vanilla, this, that, and the other. And it goes all the way down to just like where you snap the ball on motion. If you're giving your guy the best entry point, you know, if it's a tight end or a fullback slide across the formation, does he have the best entry point to have success in picking up the defensive end? Or if you snap it too late, now he's got to dig that guy out, and all of a sudden that guy collapses. And so there's a lot of little nuanced things in week one that I think, you know, kind of bit most teams in the butt. And then week two looked a lot better in Denver, looked a lot better with you guys. I thought there was a couple things. I thought there was great balance. They called the game with great balance. What do you have, 23 attempts and 19 completions?
Yep.
But I thought that there was great balance and there was a great variety. Now, he had 10 scrambles or 10 runs, but Stevenson was unbelievable, not only carrying the ball, but I thought Stevenson was unbelievable catching the ball. Big-time performance, big-time rotation in the backfield there. One of the great plays, the tight end on a leak play down the sideline. And that was one where if it's a little bit better ball, it should have been a touchdown. But some really nice plays, some big-time plays on the offense. And you got to feel like, hey, man, after the first week, we cured some of those timing issues, some of those nuanced issues with our offense and played a hell of a lot better, a hell of a lot cleaner game in week two.
So, Stink, to us, it was more of a get better, not just an entirely get right game. And I think the Patriots showed that they certainly can play better. But do you believe this is the step in the right direction game for them, or is this more anomalous given the fact that the Dolphins are an absolute disaster with a dead man walking for a coach?
Yeah, well, I'd put a lot more credence and a lot more weight into New England figuring things out than I would be. It's just like there was a desperation after you guys jumped up. Was it 14-0 you jumped up or whatever it was? They came back and made it 15-14 or whatever it was, like 17-14. Like you came back and responded, you know, and they ended up like they looked horrible early in that game. And then they started hitting the sideline with some swing passes, some bubble screen type of things, some access throws to the outside. Then it opened up the middle of the football field, and they hit some, you know, H-N, and they did a bunch of things pretty well. And they built up a little bit of a lead against you guys. And then you know, be able to come back, settle things down, and stay true and not just get panicked over the fact that you're losing to Miami and it's been a house of horror for you guys down there in Miami. I thought that said a lot about your football team, kind of how you respond to the adversity.
Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mark, while we feel better about the quarterback position this week than we did a week ago, a lot of NFL teams are not feeling great. Joe Burrow gets hurt. Jaden Daniels is hurt. J.J. McCarthy. Injuries starting to pile up at the position. And I wanted to ask you, as a guy who made his living in the trenches and I think loves the physicality of football, when you see these injuries and potential backup versus backup games, do you think we ever trend to a world where, like, the quarterback is not allowed to get hit?
Okay, I hope not. Man, I hope not. And we've already trended that way, right? Can't hit him, you know, you can't hit him below the thighs. You can't hit him above the chest. You can't touch his helmet. You can't, like, it's unbelievable. And part of me just wonders if, like, this is going to sound so, you know, old man with black socks, you know, shouting at clouds, but part of me just wonders if one, the guys aren't calloused and they're not used to getting hit. They don't know how to get hit. They like, there's part of me that wonders about that. You know, it's funny. I had a conversation last year. I was calling a game with Roger Goodell, and Roger comes up to me, you know, on the field before kickoff and says, what are we going to do? All these quarterback injuries. And I'm like, well, why don't we start to practice and teach guys how to block and teach guys how to run the ball and put an emphasis on protection and running the football and doing all the things we do. I mean, like, that stuff is important, and you can't get the nuanced aspect of that. And I tell this to people all the time. Playing offensive line is the most skilled position in football, and everybody kind of rolls their eyes. And I go, give me one other position in any sport where the lesser athlete, right, the guy is faced a guy that's the equal size and equal strength, but he's exponentially worse athlete, and you're supposed to win 100% of your battle. 65 out of 65 times I'm supposed to block you, and if I give up one sack, I'm a piece of garbage, and you go to the Pro Bowl. Name one other position. If a 6'2 point guard blows by a 7-foot center, we don't say, hey, that 7-foot center is no good. Let's pull him out of here. No, you got a good matchup, and they won. And so it drives me crazy. The nuance of playing that position is so freaking important. And what do? Hey, let's not put on pads. Let's not touch each other. Let's not hit each other. Let's not have, you know, understand the footwork that's involved. You have got to be such a technician to play the position well. And we've eliminated it all. And then we wonder why our freaking quarterbacks are hurt all the time. Like, yeah. It's mind-boggling. Like, it's so stupid to me that we sit there and go, hey, scratch our head. What can we do? Nothing, I guess. I mean, we don't know. You know, we have no idea what's going on. I can tell you what's going on, but you don't want to listen.
Yeah, there's a lot of former players and football hardos out there like nodding their head going, oh, that Schlereth guy's making too much sense. Good on you, Mark. Speaking of the trenches and hitting people, I know you were a big believer in the Patriots offensive line heading into the season. Again, overreaction Monday to week one. Oh, I don't know about these kids. Week two, left side of the line, two rookies for the Patriots come out with clean sheets and get great PFF grades. How'd you think they played?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't ever put any merit into PFF, but I thought they played well. I think both those guys come off the ball. Hey, listen, you're going to get beat occasionally, right? You're going to make some mistakes occasionally. As long as you make them going 100 miles an hour and trying to shorten somebody's neck, it's going to work out. And one of the things I say about playing offensive line all the time is we're kind of a secret mushroom society. Nobody really knows what we're doing except us. Like, even the head coaches most of the time don't really know what we're doing. But I think one of the big things for me when it comes to playing that position, as long as we're all communicating and playing together, all five of us can be doing the wrong thing. As long as we're all committed to it and doing the wrong thing together, usually the play is going to work out. And so that's really what it comes down to. It comes down to how do we communicate it, and then how do we execute it? And if we communicate it well, the odds are we're probably going to execute it pretty well too.
Mark, before I let you go, we got to ask you, AFC West last night, you had a game that included Tom Brady, the owner, Tom Brady, the broadcaster, Tom Brady, kind of a coworker of yours in the coach's booth. What was your reaction to that?
I didn't put a lot of merit into it. I've had a lot of people ask me about it. I think it's a bad look for the NFL, right? I mean, it's a bad look, but like, what do you think is going to happen? I've got Raiders Washington this week. Well, Brady had Washington Giants first week. So do you think all of a sudden Brady's going to be able to call over to the Raiders or talk to Pete Carroll and say, hey, yeah, let me give you the inside scoop of what they're doing so you can exploit it? Like, the bottom line is every one of us in the league runs the same plays, right? We all run, everybody runs curl flat, everybody runs smash, everybody runs, you know, Yankee concept or Mills concept. Everybody runs the same crap. You may call it something. You may name it something like Viper because that's a cool name. Like, hey, we're going to call it Viper. Oh, all right. But it's all the same crap. So I just don't know how much of an advantage you're going to get. And when Brady walks in there, you know, if there's anything that's proprietary, which there isn't, then they won't tell him. But, I just laugh about it from the standpoint of, like, what is he going to do? Hey, man, I found their secret list of plays. Here's the, you know, the magic plays they're going to run. I think that part is a little bit silly.
All right, Mark, appreciate you joining us. Appreciate you bringing the energy and the honesty. I don't know if you're an energy drink guy or if that's au natural, but I appreciated it.
No, I'm water. Water and black coffee. That's where I'm at.
All right, Mark, we'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Thanks, Mark.
That was Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Fitzy, I'm glad I lobbed up the quarterback question for him. That was quite a passionate response, as you said. There are a lot of football people, hardos like me, that are like, yeah, they need to practice more. Hit quarterbacks more. They're only making $65 million. Hit them in July.
And don't ever say that I don't do anything for you, because you know I specifically mentioned PFF. Just so I had a feeling he was going to be like, oh, PFF can PFF off. And I saw you pumping your fist when he was like, oh, yeah, I don't give a flying flip what PFF says.
So that was Mark Schlereth here on WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we will break down Mark Schlereth's plan to keep quarterbacks healthier and see if it makes a lot of sense or if 32 owners were like, that's the dumbest financial plan I've ever heard. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast. This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Do you think we ever trend to a world where, like, the quarterback is not allowed to get hit?
Yeah, I hope not. Man, I hope not. And we've already trended that way, right? Hit him, you know, you can't hit him below the thighs. You can't hit him above the chest. You can't touch his helmet. You can't, like, it's unbelievable. And part of me just wonders if, one, the guys aren't calloused. And they're not used to getting hit. They don't know how to get hit. There's part of me that wonders about that.
I love Mark Schlereth for a couple reasons. That answers one of them. Also, hey, Drake May and Marcus Jones, just a bit of advice. Call Mark Schlereth. We'll give you his number. And ask him what cell phone provider he uses, because that was crystal clear for 99% of his interview. There was a couple little, but, I mean, that answer right there sounds like he's, like, in studio, like he's on a direct line or whatever. But I also do love that answer, that idea, like, I know what we should do to protect quarterbacks. Hit them more. Hit them earlier. Hit them harder. If that's
not wrong.
Well, he might be wrong. Okay. I mean, he definitely could be wrong. I don't. It's up for debate. Like, is Joe Burrow not going to have turf toe ligament tears if you hit him in July and August? Like, that seems not really accurate.
Yeah, I'm sure there were probably quarterbacks that used to just play through a lot of the ailments and injuries that the modern quarterback has, and that's why they have trouble getting up out of a chair or, you know, walk with a hitch in their giddy up these days. Now, also, like, turf toe, for everyone out there, people always hear the injury name and they're like, oh, turf toe, that doesn't sound that bad. When you have it to the extreme that Joe Burrow does, it's a debilitating injury.
Yeah, it ended Deion's career. Deion said it's the most painful thing he ever dealt with. A lot of guys that have turf toe and have had other injuries say turf toe is the most painful injury that they've ever had. So, yeah, I don't want to minimize that. I actually think his other aspect of Schlereth's point is more accurate. I don't think it's hit quarterbacks more. It's everybody else needs to be hitting more. It's develop your offensive line through full contact practices in camp. If you still want to... I feel like red jerseys have been around forever for the quarterback. I don't think that's a new modern thing. I feel like decades ago, red jerseys existed. The issue is now, you're just practicing without pads half the time with your offensive linemen. They need to hit. As he said, they need to learn. They need to pick up stunts in July. The first time you pick up stunts can't be late August, early September, when the quarterback is actually behind you. Like, their needs, that's where I think it is. So I actually think you still need to pamper the quarterbacks. The $65 million men, the faces of the franchise, the guys that everybody pays to see, yes, you still need to pamper them. It's everybody else that needs less pampering. And I think if you allow Will Campbell and Jared Wilson and this offensive line to practice full speed, full contact throughout the summer, you'll get a better offensive line come September, which in turn should protect your quarterbacks better.
So, how do you feel about how Mark Schlereth spoke about the Patriots vis-a-vis yesterday? Obviously, overreaction Monday. But since Tuesday feels like the day after is more like recalibration Tuesday, it didn't sound like he was walking it back or telling everyone to like calm their horses. Rather, like, hey, this is more of what I expected. He sounded like he would put some money in the stock. He would invest, buy in the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. I think you could play the Homer horn after Mark Schlereth. He seems a little bit like a Patriots Homer when he's on with us, because he flat out poo-pooed the idea that the Dolphins suck. The Dolphins lost that game. Mike McDaniel is dead man walking. He kind of poo-pooed that and said, no, you have to give the Patriots credit for going to Miami, doing what they did, adjusting, Drake May, all those things, which there's some truth to. I don't want to say that's totally wrong, that this was just a moral loss or whatever because they gave you the game or whatever and the resiliency and all those things. But you also have to acknowledge that the Dolphins are a bad football team that's playing badly and probably not very motivated right now. That's a factor in this discussion, right?
That is a significant contributing factor. That's why we've played not only the did the Patriots win it or did the Dolphins lose it card, but just how much worse are the Dolphins than we anticipated. Not that that takes away anything from what we built up with the Patriots, as in, hey, look, you got to figure out how to win some way. So if it's against a bad team that you almost gave the game back to and they said, no, thanks, we suck more than you, fine, take it. It's your first win. Be, you know, take it and run with it. That's great. You can build off of it. There's nothing for the Dolphins to build off going forward. The foundation has imploded.
And I've always been consistent. I believe that false confidence is better than no confidence. Like, this may be false confidence. Maybe the Dolphins stink. Maybe you're not as good as you feel offensively coming out of that game. Whatever. But I'd rather have some false confidence that might lead to real confidence and real success and real execution down the road. Patriots have another opportunity this week. Steelers defense is not good right now. The Steelers defense is not what you think the Steelers defense should be, or just in your brain, like, oh, the Steelers always have a good defense. They don't right now. They do not have a good defense right now. So you have an opportunity to continue to take advantage of a willing victim of the other opponents. But no, I definitely think Schlereth is, and I think some of it is, we all do this, when you make a prediction, you kind of trend toward wanting to support your own prediction. And if they're going to win more than 8.5 games, Mark Schlereth needs to believe or hope that the reason they won their first game of the year is going to snowball into reasons they might win, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, and he can be right at the end of the year and say, see, I told you guys, take the over on 8.5.
Yeah, I think he's feeling better about his prediction regarding the Patriots after last week, and he didn't overreact. He didn't panic too much after week one as well. Did also mention that his Broncos kind of took one on the chin this past week.
Yeah.
You know, so what? These things, I mean, again, that was one of those, don't overreact to it. Indianapolis, like, where did I see you saying, like, you know, they're, no, it was a friend of mine, like, but they're calling him Indiana Jones now, and the Colts are the hottest bandwagon in football, and everyone better get on board what they're able to. Like, come on, everyone, pump the brakes.
Settle
please.
Down just a little bit. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. 617-779-7937. Franco and Lynn. What's up, Franco? Franco. Does Franco have us on hold?
That's the Giardi ringback music.
Lord, Franco. I gave you your opportunity. You wanted to talk about QB hits and Mark Schlereth's idea. 617-779-7937. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, it's time for Ted. It's time for our three-point stance. Ted Talk, his reactions, Ted Johnson's reactions to a win in Miami, something that he knows is a valuable commodity. But first, we have our three-point stances, and I'm going to use mine to honor an acting legend who passed away today and was the centerpiece of the greatest sports movie ever. That's my three-point stance next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.